You're listening to a message from Gateway Church Geelong. We hope it blesses you. For more information about Gateway, visit gc.org.au.
We're in our series of stewardship this morning, and we're going to come around the Word of God. This morning, God is going to find us faithful. God is looking and He's searching for His body of Christ to find them faithful as His stewards of God this morning. And we're going to start from 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1-2. We've got three main scriptures that I really want to come around this morning. And this morning, it's not being a spectator. This morning, it's a being a participator this morning, that we can come together around the Word of God. So let's start in chapter 1 Corinthians chapter 4. So then, let us apostles be looked upon as ministering servants of Christ and stewards, trustees of the mysteries, the secret purposes of God. Verse 2, moreover, this is Paul speaking, it is essentially required of stewards that a man should be found faithful, proving himself worthy of trust. You know, today, do you know this morning that you have been entrusted with the secret mysteries and purposes of God this morning? We have been called His trustees, appointed by Jesus Christ to steward His purposes. What an incredible gift of trust that God Almighty has given His church, has given to us as His people. The honor of Christ and the welfare of His kingdom have been entrusted to you and to I. You know, in this scripture, Paul talks about it's not the importance of everything he's administering. It's not the amount that him and Apollos are doing. It's not how much you get to administer, but the most outstanding characteristic of a good steward is that Christ finds you faithful. You see, Paul was the Lord's steward. He was trustworthy. He was faithful this morning. You know, through servants, through stewards, their office is one of great trust. They are stewards to whom the owner of the house has entrusted the care of the most sacred things within that house, the mysteries. Mysteries that have been hidden but are now made known to His faithful. Do you hear that, church, this morning? God wants to make His mysteries known to you because you are His faithful. In Matthew 13, 11, it says this incredible scripture. He explained, you have been given the intimate, the experience of insight into the hidden truths and mysteries of the realm of heaven's kingdom this morning. You have been given intimate experience. It's for you to possess. It's for you to understand. It's for you to know this morning that you have been given insight by God Himself, the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The mysteries of heaven's kingdom realms are spiritual insights into the nature and the ways of our God. Jesus Christ can only be fully understood by the Spirit, not by the intellect of man. You see, Jesus taught His disciples using the cryptic language of parables to move them beyond intellectual abilities and to engage their spirit. If the listener had a hunger to learn with an open, teachable heart, then Jesus' words brought life and understanding. And we must always be those who push aside our opinions and traditions to glean the deepest meaning of all that Jesus did and taught this morning, church. I have the good news of the Lord that you have been entrusted with the secret and the mystery and the purposes of our God, that you can search for the deeper meaning. Jesus speaks in parables, but it is up to his church, it is up to kings to search out what God is trying to say, which means there's a deeper level to his word that you and I have been entrusted with, that you and I get to search out and discover what is it that God is saying into my spirit this morning, because I know that when God speaks truth, it sets my mind free. It sets my heart free. And not only that, I can walk in this freedom, not having secrets and mysteries anymore, but walking in the truth that has been revealed because I took the time to steward the Word of God and search out the hidden meanings. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants for His church today. It's a shift. It's a change in our mind. The kingdom of God is here. And John the Baptist was saying, repent, which means change your thinking, where you're at the moment, to what you might know on your journey. He's saying that there's so many hidden meanings for you and I to discover that it's going to be a journey constantly changing your thinking and opening up your heart wide to receive everything that God wants to say to you. And it's not just to say to you, it's for the community and the culture and the city that you live in who don't understand God yet, but through you having revelation, you can bring truth to your families. You can bring truth to the culture and the community that you are influencers in this morning. Paul says this, moreover, it is essentially required of us who he has made stewards that a man should be found faithful. What does it mean to be found faithful? It means to be constantly searching God's word, constantly stewarding his word, not to just stay at a cryptic message where I don't quite understand what God is saying, so therefore I don't know what to do. No, the Holy Spirit is calling your spirit this morning to steward his word, that you can find out the hidden mysteries of God and you come to a place where you're so steadfast, you're so constant in the word of God, unwavering in his truth because it's been revealed to you because you decided to steward the word of God. Constant, unwavering, loyal and steadfast to seek the deeper meaning of what is the Spirit of God saying to me. Have you ever found yourself hitting a wall? Have you ever found yourself in a place of frustration, not knowing what the answer is? God would encourage your spirits this morning. If you search out, truth will be revealed to you, and you won't be at a place where there's a wall. You won't be at a place of the unknown. You will go beyond the unknown, and you will find a door where the Holy Spirit is saying, come through. There's a deeper meaning. There's truth for you to understand. And what did God's word, when you find the truth, it shall set you free. The Holy Spirit wants freedom for your life. The Holy Spirit wants freedom for your questions this morning. The Holy Spirit wants freedom for your family this morning. And so he's calling you to be a steward of his word. He's calling you to be found faithful because you went beyond the wall and you went beyond the frustration and you called out to your God and said, God, I have to know what is really happening in my child's life. What is really happening in my marriage? God, I need it not to be a mystery any longer. I need the truth of your word so that I can walk into the freedom of everything that you have promised and shed your life for me to have. Direct access to the kingdom of God. You know, the word required of stewards is in the Greek, it means to seek. It means to search. It means to look intensively for something. But this is not our search that it's referring to. It's referring to God's search. He is looking intensively for someone that will steward his word and go beyond the cryptic language to find out the hidden mysteries and the secrets and the purposes of God. He wants to make them known to you. And God is doing an extensive search through the body of Christ, looking for who will stand and answer the call to become stewards of the word, to find the revelation and the gold. God is calling his people to go deeper. God is calling his people to a place of intimacy that will draw on the revelation of God, that it doesn't stay at a cryptic meaning, but you find the truth, and God is extensively looking and searching. Who are those people that I am putting the call out to? Who will stand? Who will deliberately steward my word? God is making a concentrated, exhaustive, and thorough search in pursuit of stewards who are faithful. But I think that we are required to do the same. There's mysteries, there's secret purposes of God. And God is wanting to give, but he's looking for those stewards who will say, you have entrusted me the word of God, so I am going to answer your calling this morning to come deeper into the word, because I want to know what those mysteries are. I want to know what those secret purposes of God, that I can wake up and hear the voice of God speaking to me so clearly, because it'll change the whole direction of your day. It'll change your thinking. It'll change your perception. And don't you want your hearts and your minds and your perception to be changed by God's clarity and direction for your life, so that you don't have to lean on your own understanding? But you can lean on the word that always meets its target and never fails. You know, since I've started stewarding his word on a deeper level, because I'm answering that call this morning, I'm answering that call to go deeper into the word of God, I have been so amazed at the clarity that I've been hearing the voice of God with. And that's the joy. Even though there's diligence, even though you have to be deliberate, the joy outweighs anything that you have to put into action. It's so worth just being entrusted and stewarding the gift of God that he has put on every single one of your lives with his word. And the other morning I woke up and I heard this as clear as day, speckled sheep. And I said, speckled sheep? What does speckled sheep mean, God? But see, this is what a steward does. I don't stay at the point of confusion. I don't stay at the point of wondering. What I do is I steward what I've heard, what sounds cryptic, and what I do is I start searching for the hidden meaning, because God is wanting to speak to his church through me. And so I've got to start to search, and I've got to start to go deeper to say, Holy Spirit, what is it that you're saying to your people? Because it's not just me who's wanting to hear the answer. I'm trying to hear answers for his church, because he has gifted me to be a minister and I have to steward my calling. It's not just for me, it's for you that I have in mind. It's for you that I love. It's for you that I'm going deeper, because I love this church. Every time that I just want to, you know, go to the left or go to the right, I see your faces and it draws me into the calling that he has called to me. And I step in stewardship, because I want you to receive all that God has for you. I want this church to receive all that it's been destined to do. And I said speckled sheep. And so I looked it up, and this is what God was saying to us as a church, not me, to us as a church. It says, Jacob is speaking to his wives, Leah and Rachel, reminding them of how their father Laban had deceived him and changed his wage 10 times. Yet God had been with him. That was my first encouragement for us. God is going to be with you. Even though at times man has done the wrong thing, God is with you this morning. This is a strength that you can stand on, that your God is with you. Even though people might be deceptive around you, even though you might have lost things, God is with you this morning and he sees you. You are not away from his view. You are not unheard this morning. God sees you. Yet God had been with him. And whenever Laban had changed his wages, God had ensured that Jacob had been blessed in spite of his father-in-law's underhanded schemes. So when Laban had tried to undercut Jacob's wealth by assigning to him the sheep or goats with recessive coat patterns, speckled or streaked rather than the dominant solid colors, God blessed the production of the sheep that Jacob needed to prosper. But then God said this, and I knew it was for us. What is clear? See how he brings clarity to two words? What is clear that Genesis is saying is describing a divine intervention, a miracle, an event that would not occur naturally apart from God's involvement. Do you hear what God is saying to us at a church? That he is describing that he's bringing divine interventions into your families. Are you excited? I need divine interventions. I have a son with epilepsy. I need divine interventions. And God is saying to his people, I'm going to bring divine interventions. I'm going to bring miracles, events that would never occur than if God himself did not show up. And God is saying, I'm going to show up in your lives. I'm going to show up in your families. I'm going to show up in your barrenness. I've got to get you excited this morning because God is bringing miracles to your families and your lives and to this church. And you know what happens when miracles start breaking out in a church. You don't have to promote it. You don't have to Facebook it. You don't have to Instagram it. The word will get out and people will start to flock because they see a God that is moving. God is going to move on our behalf. He sees you this morning and his miracle working power is going to intervene to every wall, to every situation and to every problem. And he's going to move with a miracle that would never naturally occur than if it was with him. God's involvement is coming to your life. So what happens when God does find a faithful servant? He shows himself strong. God wants to show himself strong on your behalf today. 2 Chronicles 16:9 says it like this from the New Living Translation. The eyes of the Lord search the whole earth. There's that word, search again. The eyes of the Lord search the whole world, the whole earth, in order to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. He wants to strongly support you this morning. So if you make that decision to go beyond the cryptic word, and you make the decision to be that steward of the gift of the word that he's given to us. I mean, the word of God in our hands, the word of God, the Old Testament, the New Testament, Jesus Christ through the Spirit of God speaks clarity and revelation into the word of God this morning. He wants to strengthen you with that word of God as you steward his word. The Lord is ceaselessly watchful for occasions of helping the faithful as he exercises a most watchful providence, the foreseeing care and guidance over all those who sincerely commit themselves to his care and depend upon him for well-doing, and he will not fail to protect them. I mean, that's an incredible promise this morning. God is going to protect you. God will not fail you this morning if you depend upon him in well-doing. He wants to show himself strong to those who truly desire and endeavor to know and do his will in all things. If you steward his will for your life. The word of God promises you that he will show himself strong to you, fully committed to you. But sometimes it's hard being a steward. Sometimes my flesh wants to scream louder than my desires of what God is calling me to do. And I remember one time when God asked me, entrusted me with this beautiful necklace from Tiffany's. And he called me to steward what was so beautiful and valuable to me. And I remember I was at a house, and I was just walking out the front door with one of my friends, and I heard the Spirit of the Lord so clearly say, I want you to take off your necklace and I want you to give it to her. And straight away I put my hand over my necklace and I went, this one? Are you sure you're not talking about the one from Kmart at home? Are you really talking about Tiffany's blue box, white ribbon? Are you really saying this one? And I knew that when the voice of the Holy Spirit was asking me to steward his words in obedience, in choice to him, I knew that there was no other option. And I took it off, beautiful necklace, and I said, I just really feel that God wants me to give this to you. And my heart was broken. Sometimes it's hard to steward what God's calling you to steward. And it's really interesting. I was just listening to messages this week on stewardship. And I felt the Holy Spirit make his word so clear to me this week. He said, you've been lamenting over that necklace ever since you gave it to her. Your heart is not with me. You didn't steward it in my freedom. You didn't steward it with the heart that I called you to have in that moment. And I found myself in that very moment saying to the Holy Spirit, I'm so sorry, you're actually right. You've come to me with perfect clarity and perfect truth. I haven't been free since I did that because I've been lamenting this whole time of something that was so valuable to me that you asked me to give. But I gave it indeed, but I didn't give it in my heart. You see, when God calls you to steward, it's from a place in your heart. It's not about what you give. It's not about how much you give. It's the heart in which you give that God is wanting to mold and shape and grow strength into. And I said, Holy Spirit, I'm so sorry. You're so right. I give that over to you with joy. Thank you so much for entrusting me with your word that was so clear. I want to be a faithful steward. Find me faithful in this moment as I've given my whole heart to you in obedience. And I just felt this weight lifted off of me. I've got Tiffany's around my neck. It's all okay. I've had it for years, but I stayed with the lamenting. And God wants to remove lamenting because it's all about your heart that he wants you to steward with him and according to his power and his truth. I so love when we hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. And isn't that our declaration scripture for this year in Isaiah 30, verse 21? Your ears will hear sweet words behind you. You know, he was never telling me off. He was never angry with his instruction. He said it so beautifully and so sweetly. You know what it was? I don't want you to lament anymore. I want your heart to be free so you understand the truth of stewardship. Your ears will hear sweet words behind you. Go this way. There is your path. This is how you should go. Whenever you must decide whether to turn to the right or the left, you have his mysteries. You have his secret purposes, but he wants you to understand them so that you may walk in them with your whole heart. Because the Holy Spirit today wants to guide you to every reality of truth. To steward your gift well, you will need to be strengthened by his word. You can hear him this morning. I love what it says in John chapter 16, verse 13. But when the truth-giving spirit comes, he will unveil the reality of every truth within you. He won't speak his own message, but only what he hears from the Father, and he will reveal prophetically to you what is to come. This morning, do you want to know what is to come for your life? God is saying that if you steward this gift well that he has given to you upon your life, he will reveal by his truth-giving spirit prophetically what is to come, which means you can walk in clarity. I didn't understand what speckled sheep meant, but when I began to steward that mystery, he showed me the purpose and he encouraged and strengthened us, because when God finds you faithful, he wants to show himself strong. You can trust the Holy Spirit Jesus said this three times in John. You can trust the truth-giving Spirit. He is the Spirit of truth. Why? Because he wanted the disciples to understand that his Holy Spirit speaks only what he hears of the Father, and it is truth, which brings freedom for your life. You know, he is your guide. He will guide you to every reality of his truth. Guide is the Greek word odega, which describes a tour guide, one who leads you on an expedition. Don't you want to go on an expedition in the mysteries of God? My heart, my spirit, my life, my decisions are so hungry for the mysteries of God. Because I see the human need around us, and I know that Jesus Christ is the only answer. So somebody has got to answer his calling. Calling and steward the giftings that God has placed on your life, the word of God that he's given to you, so that you will make known the mysteries and the secrets of God to a world who is in need. He wants to take you on an expedition. You may have a desire to move into a new expedition, a higher realm of responsibility that holds supernatural and significant assignments for your life. If so, steward your calling. Steward what he has given to you so that you can be found faithful in what you are doing right now. When God has found you faithful in your present assignment, he will reveal to you a new door that will soon open for you to step through so you can walk out the dreams that he has placed in your spirit. Do you want God to open new doors to you? Doors that he has prophetically revealed to you. You are stewards this morning, trustees of the mysteries, the secret purposes of God, called to minister these grace gifts, to walk in his calling with his presence and his power. 1 Corinthians 4 again. So then let us together as the body of Christ, not spectators, but participants, apostles, be looked upon as ministering servants of Christ and stewards, trustees of the mysteries, the secret purposes of God. God's mysteries this morning and secret purposes are his gifts to each and every one of you, but it is to receive. It's not just to hold the gift in your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this wonderful gift, and never open it. God comes to you this morning and he gives you a gift, gifts that he has gifted to his church, grace-given gifts, full of supernatural power, but you have to steward them so that you walk in the intended power. Why? Because there's a city of Geelong and the human need is crying out, and we are the answer as the church this morning. You are the church of Jesus Christ. You are strong and you are entrusted with the kingdom of God. First Peter 4:10, as each of you has received a gift, a particular special talent, a gracious divine endowment, employ it, minister for one another as befits good trustees of God's many-sided grace. Faithful stewards of the extremely diverse powers and gifts granted to Christians by unmerited favor. Every man, this word here in the Greek, every man means every single person that is sitting here right now. Every single person that has the Spirit of God within them. No one is excluded from these special gifts. Everybody has received a gift from God this morning. Peter says, as every man has received the gift. These words, every man, are translated from the Greek, meaning every single person. No one is excluded. Everybody has been supernaturally endowed with the gifts of God. Peter goes on to say in the scripture, as every man have received this gift. This word received this morning, it means to receive into one's possession. Receive means taking hold of something. God gives you this grace gift. God gives you this calling, but it's not a gift to be put to the side. It's a gift to take ownership of. It's something that you grasp to. It's something that you take hold of, and with responsibility and with absolute dedication of heart, mind, and spirit, you grab hold of it and you walk in every bit of calling that God has called you to. You've got to embrace it. Take it so tightly that it becomes your very own. Your gift wants to identify who you really are in the spirit. I see the natural form, but God sees you in your spiritual form. And as you take ownership of this gifting, it identifies who you really are, from the kingdom of heaven to who you are in this earth. God wants to identify you by the Spirit of God this morning, that when people see you, they see the supernatural gift of God on your life, and they can't look to the left or the right because all they see is the grace-given gift, who is Jesus. Jesus is the grace-given gift this morning, imparted supernaturally and divinely by God's own grace. These gifts can't be earned. They're not deserved. These gifts are imparted supernaturally and divinely by God's own grace. You didn't have to work for them. You didn't have to purchase them. You didn't have to buy them or earn them. They are supernaturally given to you. The gifts God bestows are not natural talents developed by your own ability. They are imparted divinely by the Spirit of God. In 4:10 Peter, God has graced everyone with his supernatural, miraculous gifts that are beyond his or her own natural ability. Whoa. I got so much ability. I clean really well. But it kind of sits here. But you know, I'm not gifted in other areas like I would desire to be. But look what God says here. These gifts God bestows are not natural talents developed by my own ability. They are supernatural graces that are divinely imparted by the Spirit of God. Gifts that are so miraculous, it goes beyond your ability. Once released and activated, these gifts bring the supernatural, life-changing power of God into manifestation to meet and answer the human need. Do you think that the church is as powerful as it needs to be? In word it is, but there's a calling that God is bringing out to steward these grace-given gifts, to move supernaturally, to meet the human need. You are the answer this morning. You carry Jesus Christ, who makes the blind to see, who makes the deaf to hear, who makes the lame to walk, who brings salvation into people's lives where they were not going to be with him in eternity. You have the supernatural power of God in you. You know, I was at Coles the other day and I just walked in and I noticed this older lady sitting on a chair, and there was all these people and staff around her. And I thought, oh, what's going on there? And everybody was hustling and bustling and very concerned about this lovely old lady sitting down. And she was breathing really heavily and rapidly and just really just couldn't catch her breath. And then I noticed, as I just watched on, and I noticed another lady just holding some jelly beans. And I thought, obviously, she's a diabetic and, you know, she's having a hypo or whatever it's called. And I just thought, God, I feel so powerless in this place right now. I can see the human need right in front of me. And I can see that knowing who I am in Christ, that I have the answer, but I feel so far away from imparting what I know that she needs is a miracle right now. God, you are the answer to the human need. God, I pray that I am going to answer your call because I don't want to be helpless and I don't want to be powerless when human need is screaming around me. But God, I want to walk and steward your calling because I want to walk in your supernatural power. And that's what God is calling us to this morning. You know, the word minister means we are to minister these gifts to each other for the benefit of the larger community. Minister, Peter alerts us to the fact that God expects us to be radically, fanatically committed to using the gifts he has given us in such a way that pleases him and meets the needs of others. God intends for us to use our gifts to minister to one another. These gifts are not for self-glory. They're not for self-promotion, but they are for the benefit of the larger, wider community. God has called us to take the territory of Geelong. God has given us the territory of Geelong to possess, but he is calling his church that if you will answer his calling to steward the mysteries and the secrets and the purposes of God, you will make God known to be faithful into every single person that does not know him. You've been called this morning. You've been called this morning. You've been called this morning, Holy Spirit. I pray that you have entrusted us with the kingdom of God. Holy Spirit, I pray that your words of truth, you have called us to be stewards, and not only stewards with that deeper meaning, to minister these grace-given gifts that you have given to us. It's not of our own ability. It's not of our own talents. It's nothing that we could purchase or we could earn. You have given it to us by your grace because you have called us to walk in the supernatural. You have called us to meet and answer the human condition and need. You have asked us to run and to walk in the freedom of supernatural power that doesn't just observe, that doesn't just look on, but actually goes to that person knowing that if you just lay hands on them, they shall recover. You have called this church to possess your calling of the territory of Geelong, but you are calling us to rise up and strengthen and walk as stewards and ministers to your gospel. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Matthew 13:11 says this. He explained, you have been given the intimate experience of insight into the hidden truths and mysteries of the realm of heaven's kingdom. You have been given insight. And it's kings who search it out. This is what I felt the Holy Spirit say so clearly this week. There's two things that God spoke to me about that he wants to bring healing to this morning. The first one is he wants to show you how to steward his identity that he's given to you. The amount of times that I ask people, do you love yourself? Do you love yourself? And 9 times out of 10, I hear the resounding, no, I don't love myself. This morning, the Holy Spirit wants to set you free. Like a mirror image, when you look in the mirror, you don't see you, you see Jesus, because you have been created in his image. That when I look in this mirror, I don't see my faults. I don't see my failures. What I see is Jesus. What I see is goodness. What I see is kindness and faithfulness, that I can trust him no matter That's what I see, and that's what God wants to bring you into. He wants the truth of His identity, who He's created you to be, to set you free this morning, that you can walk out completely transformed and changed in your mind and your heart with the identity of Jesus Christ. When I was 30 years of age, I struggled in this area. A certain percentage of myself, I loved who I was. I knew that God had made me. But there was one area that I'd kept isolated from God. And it was an area of trauma. And at 30 years of age, when I'd taken my first son as a baby, I thought, I'm going to go away for a couple of days and I'm going to spend time with God. And I'm just going to hear from Him. And I had my agenda. I had my intentions. But then God, all of a sudden, by a supernatural intervention, He intervened on my plans. He intervened on my intentions. And the Holy Spirit said to me so clearly, I want to talk to you about that trauma. And quickly, I knew what my default language was. I knew what my place of safety was. And I said to the Holy Spirit, no, I'm not talking about that. I'm here to meet with you and talk about other things, but I'm not talking to you about that. Why? Because I'd kept it hidden. Why? Because I'd kept it under a lock and a key that nobody could open. It was shut for nobody to open. And the Holy Spirit came to me the second time, the third time, and I knew, because I knew who He was, that He could be trusted. I fell into His arms and I responded to His voice and I responded to His call. And I said, Holy Spirit, let's talk about it. And in a 3-minute conversation of the Holy Spirit taking me on an expedition into the supernatural, I got completely healed, completely set free, and completely restored. If you had have asked me a week before that and told me that I would be here one day speaking about this as a testimony, I would have vomited in absolute fear. Trauma held me in shame. Trauma held me in fear. It shaped and changed a part of my identity. It trapped me. It trapped a section of my identity. But God has called me in the image of Him. And Jesus Christ is free. Jesus Christ does not know shame. Jesus Christ does not know trauma, because He took it on His body so you and I could be free. He wants you to be free this morning. He wants you to know what it's like to look in a mirror and love the image of God that is reflecting back at you. He wants you to know this morning that you are wonderfully and fearfully made this morning. And if that's you in this place and you are struggling and feel trapped by an identity that was never your portion, I want you to be so brave this morning and actually receive the healing that God is making available to you. And I want you to stand in this place. I want you to stand in this place right now. God wants to heal you. God wants to heal you. He's coming to you this morning and saying, Ren, I've got a gift for you. And this is Jesus coming to Ren right now and saying, Ren, I've got a gift of healing. It's going to transform the way you see yourself. It's going to transform the way you think about yourself. Would you take the gift and receive, or would you just keep looking at me? The New Testament church was about participation. It was not about being a spectator. God is calling you this morning because He has healing. It's not a nice thought. It's not a maybe. It's a definite. You are going to be healed this morning. I heard it audibly. You are going to be healed this morning. You are going to be set free. You are going to be delivered this morning. Your identity is going to be radically transformed and changed from the inside to the out. Why? Because I am living proof. I am the testimony. What does testimony mean? Do it again. Do it again, Lord. Do it again, Lord. Father, I pray for every single person that has stood this morning with absolute courage. This is stewarding the gift of healing. This is entrusting you with healing. You're stewarding it right now. And I declare healing. I want every single Christian to start speaking in tongues right now. There is ground, hardened ground of trauma that needs to be unearthed here this morning. I want you speaking in tongues loud this morning. Father God, I pray for every single person that you are coming to them with a gift of healing this morning. And it is a gift of healing to supernaturally transform them. And I just pray change, and I pray deliverance, and I pray wholeness in Jesus' name. Restoration, restoration, restoration in Jesus' name. I want you to look at me for a second. The blind man at Jericho. I didn't get the right word. Jesus heals a blind man. Jesus was passing through Jericho. Margaret, can you come up to the stage? I want to show you this. Jesus was coming through Jericho, and a blind man who had been blind for many years was sitting there. He had his coat on, and he'd heard about Jesus. He'd heard the testimonies. He heard that this was a Savior who was healing blind eyes and healing deaf ears. He had heard, and he was sitting down where he would beg every single day. And it says when he heard that Jesus was coming, he stood up and he started to go towards Jesus, and he started to go towards him and make his way. And people were pushing him aside, saying, "Oh, you just need to go back to where you are. You're a blind man. Get back into your spot. Get back into your position." But he said, "No, I've heard. I've heard about Jesus, and I'm going to receive. I'm going to receive my healing." And what it says is the blind man, he took off his coat and then he went to Jesus. Why did he take off his coat? He took off his coat is because this was a government issue coat of that you are officially allowed to beg for alms because you are officially blind. We've got you in this community. So you wear this jacket and it identifies who you are. It identifies that you can beg professionally. But he said, "I don't want to be known anymore as a beggar. I don't want to be identified anymore as being blind and needing the help of man, because I've heard there's a God who can heal me, not just pay for my daily staff." And so he took off his jacket and he walked up to Jesus, and Jesus said, "It is your faith that has been made well." But what he wants you to do today is take off your jackets of the old identity. And just like Samuel, every year Samuel grew, so every year Hannah came and she brought a jacket for him. It was a new coat. It was a new identity. As you steward and receive the gift of healing, God is going to grow you strong in your identity of who you really are in him. But you got to take off the identity. You got to take off the jacket. You've got to take off the old identity of who you've been known by. And you've got to push into Jesus. Don't stay in your seat if you need a new identity. Get it. It's yours to have. Come boldly to the throne room of God. You have access this morning. God wants to give you a new identity. You can take your seats this morning. And lastly, the second thing that I heard, and the scripture for all you with identity this morning, because you struggle no more, I declare that over you. You are healed, set free, and restored this morning. You are the product of his hand. Hear me. You are the product of the hand of God this morning. Heaven's poetry is etched on your life because you've been created in the anointed. Jesus, long ago, to accomplish good works. You can believe that this morning. God changed my marriage. God changed my identity. God changed my whole journey because he healed my identity. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. The second thing, and I finish with this, is that he's calling his church to speak in tongues more. And God showed me this picture. You can't see in this bucket, but it's hard, hard soil. Imagine rock, hard soil. God says that every time you see hard soil in your life, and you try and dig into it, and you try and find an answer, but you keep hitting hard soil all the time. You know, the thing about a plant is that from this basket, you can't see the roots. You get to this point in your life and you think, why can't I get past this point? Why is this area an issue of stubbornness all the time, and I can't seem to get freedom, and I can't seem to get breakthrough? And it's like a plant. You can see the leaves, you can see the things on the surface, but you can't see what's underneath. You can't see the root issues to these stubborn problems. The Holy Spirit says today that if you will speak in tongues, speaking in tongues actually starts to work and shift the hard ground. And as you keep speaking in tongues, it unearths what is stuck, it unearths what is stubborn, and it brings you freedom of soft soil where the words that you hear from God can be planted and can be received in soft soil. I want you to stand this morning as the band comes. The Holy Spirit this morning is calling His church to speak in tongues like never before. Diligent, heart, deliberateness, speaking in tongues, speaking in tongues, speaking in tongues, because there is a city. There are our families right here. There are things in our life that are in hard soil, that are stubborn, that need to be brought up into the softness of the supernatural power of God, where He can show us what the root issue is. And God would say that if you begin to speak in tongues, He's going to show you what root issues is. He's going to show you where things have been hard and stubborn, and He is going to change them. And He is going to cause such a difference where there's soft ground. Holy Spirit, I pray, Your anointing, Your glory is coming upon Your people in such an evident way. Every single week in church, it's going to grow, it's going to strengthen, it's going to deepen. Holy Spirit, I pray, identities have been healed and changed and set free this morning. Holy Spirit, issues that have been stubborn and what we could not see the answer to, if we will speak in tongues, if we will steward the gift of the Holy Spirit that has been freely given to us, You will unearth what is hard, You will unearth what is stubborn, and You will make plain the direction and the answers and the solution of what we need to apply, that we may walk in freedom. And we declare this in Jesus' name over every person You're blessing, in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise You.
Just stay in this atmosphere for a second. Just as you begin to lift that music up the back there, just as you're comfortable, close your eyes. Truly 100% believe that the Holy Spirit is actually not done in this moment. If the Spirit of God has been speaking to you through the sermon, but particularly these last couple of moments, just close your eyes, open your heart right now. The Spirit of God wants to minister powerfully to you. There is a space here. There is a moment here. You got stubborn issues that are in your heart, stubborn issues that are in your mind. Things where you wish you didn't do those things, or you wish you didn't think about those things, wish you didn't have those responses. There is a moment right now, right here, but it requires your participation. God could click His fingers, but He wants you to take some responsibility right now and step into this moment of exchange and encounter.
Holy Spirit.
I'm sorry.
breath of the Lord. Breath of the Lord.
Spirit breathing upon you right now. Miracle working power of the Holy Spirit moving upon you right now. The joy of the Lord being breathed upon you right now. The life-giving power of the Holy Spirit coming alive in you right now. Dry bones coming to life in Jesus' powerful name. Jesus is breathing into those dead things. They're coming back to life in Jesus' powerful name. Liberty and freedom in your life right now in Jesus' powerful name. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, amen. Where the Spirit of the Lord is. Surrounded and enveloped in His presence right now in Jesus' name. He's ministering to you. If you don't know Jesus in this place this morning, if you don't know what it is to have a relationship with Jesus, He wants to make Himself known to you inside of you, not just in your head, in your heart. He wants your heart to come alive in relationship through Him. If you're watching online this morning, if you're in this room, if you don't know Him personally, it's as simple as confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord, that God raised Him from the dead, and you'll be saved in Jesus' name. So just as we're in this moment, if you don't know Him personally, if you're watching online, you don't know Him personally, you're watching this at a later time, you don't know Him personally, I'm going to invite you to pray a prayer with me this morning. Every single person is going to join in the prayer. Just confessing that Jesus is Lord. Pray this after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I come to You a sinner, and I know that You died for my sin. I surrender my life. I repent of my sin. And I step into Your freedom. From this day on, I'm following Jesus. I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord, that God raised Him so that I could be forgiven. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, just as the Spirit is still ministering to people in this room, just let the Spirit of God minister to you right now. On the way out, if you prayed that prayer, grab one of our booklets. Our team will be on the door. If you're watching online, go to gc.org.au/first steps. Get in contact with us. You need to continue following Jesus. It's a journey that He's called to. Amen.